I must simply admit that while I was sitting singing that hymn, I was in a bit of a reverie myself, and then, oh, the sermon comes next. So that actually is quite a gift for the pastor to be able to lose himself in worship. So I appreciate that. Welcome to Labor Day weekend.
Woohoo!
Okay, woohoo. It's the unofficial end of summer, and for many, it is the signal of the beginning of a school year, whether that has begun earlier or later. And I hear rumor that in some quarters it's considered the beginning of the football season. Is that like the pointy brown ball? Yeah. So I know very little about that. So thanks to Wikipedia, I learned that. It's a weekend. This full of picnics and celebrations, people traveling to be with loved ones. And amidst all of that, including the Labor Day sales, it is sometimes easy to forget that Labor Day originated as a celebration for workers during the struggles of the Industrial Revolution when people were being treated as the machines on assembly lines. Now, it was either a machinist, Matthew McGuire, or a Peter McGuire, after witnessing the annual Labor Festival in Toronto, Canada, who first proposed this holiday in New York City in 1882, 130 years ago. And you may not know this detail, it's our own state, Oregon, which was the first to make it a state holiday in 1887. So, yay Oregon, go Oregon. And it wasn't so long after that, in 1894, following a prominent and actually very violent labor strike during which some workers were killed at the hands of the U.S. military and U.S. marshals, that the Congress pushed forward and unanimously voted to approve legislation that made Labor Day a national holiday. Labor Day a national holiday even before Thanksgiving, a national holiday. Grover Cleveland signed it into legislation only days after the end of that strike in 1894. And by that time, already 30 states in the United States were celebrating Labor Day. So however we personally observe this weekend, it does us well to pause and recall that at its core, Labor Day is a tribute to the contributions that workers make to the strength and the prosperity and the well-being of our society. And it's a celebration of the rhythm of work and rest, for Labor Day is a day to rest from labor. Today we hear one of the most appealing sayings of Jesus. It's a saying that's found only in the gospel according to Matthew. These words that beckon us, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What an invitation, what a promise. "Come unto me, you who are weary and laden, and I will give you rest." After the sermon, we'll actually hear an excerpt, an aria from Handel's most famous cantata, The Messiah, a setting of a portion of these words, but it's followed immediately by a choral setting of the second half of the saying of Jesus, an adaptation of those words. If you've heard or sung The Messiah, you'll recognize this choral piece. "His yoke is easy, his burden is light, his burden is light." Now, hopefully it won't be that pitchy when you hear it performed elsewhere. But the genius of Handel in that moment is that you cannot sing that phrase heavily. You can't sing it with all the muscles of your voice. You have to sing it lightly. There is even an argument about the best way to sing the rhythm of that. There is a Baroque technique that you'll sometimes hear done where that phrase is
His yoke is easy. Now that sounds silly to our ears, but what's even greater about that is it gives this sense of buoyancy, lightness, silliness, like skipping even. There's something about these words of Jesus that ask us to unburden ourselves, to rest, live lightly, to lay down our burden. It allures and entrances us even still, because we still need the reminder to rest sometimes. The MCC Life this week is actually an article I wrote a few years ago about learning to take my own day off, which pastors do not necessarily do well. There are lots of other professions that don't do that well either. And I invite you to read it because it was a hard learned lesson, but it serves me very well. But on this Labor Day weekend, when we hear these words of Jesus, I wonder if we can grasp what that invitation might have felt like to those who first heard the invitation. I will venture to say that most, not all, but most of us in this room probably have a very poor grasp of the daily grinding physical labor of that first audience. Some do, but most of us do not. Not all, but the majority of that first audience of Jesus were very, very poor women and men of the ancient Near East, and life in ancient cities, villages, and countryside was very, very hard physical work. The young and the able-bodied aged worked from sun up to its setting just to keep themselves alive. The fire you tended with vigilance, or else you had to rekindle it with great effort. If you didn't have fire, you had no warmth through your body or to cook food. There was no spigot of water to turn on if you were thirsty or needed to wash an article of clothing. You walked often great distances, usually women hauling buckets and hoisting heavy jars upon their heads and shoulders, laboring to carry it back for household work. The morsels of food that you ate, you either raised or caught or gathered with your own hands. You sold or traded what you got for what you didn't have with others. Or you might have been growing it in your own field that you tended, probably pulling the plow with your own body. You may not have been fortunate enough to have had a donkey or an ox. And it was unlikely that it was your own field. Most of what you raised, you gave to a wealthy landowner of the field. Another big chunk of it went into taxes to the occupying empire. To meet the most basic daily human need, water, food, clothing, shelter, daily living, was a yoke and a burden of back-breaking labor. They were the first ones to hear the invitation, "Come unto me, you who are weary. I will give you rest." What a relief that must have been. How scary it might have been to consider stopping what they needed to do to stay alive every day. And it was also to ancient Jews to whom Jesus spoke, those for whom Sabbath, one day out of seven, was commanded to be a day of rest and to be held holy to God. One of God's top 10, if you'll remember, honor the Sabbath, keep it holy. It was on the Sabbath that not only observant Jews were commanded, but foreigners visiting in their midst, servants and animals, were to rest and not labor. It was during those years of wandering in the wilderness after being set free from slavery that gathering the bread that fell from heaven, manna, was forbidden even to do on the Sabbath. It wasn't necessarily the kind of work that ancient Jews did that distinguished them from other ancient peoples, but it was the fact that they didn't work one day a week as faithful religious observants. The Sabbath was a gift, but it wasn't always an easy gift. Now, lest we think of it as a luxury in their lives or in ours, imagine for them thinking of the risk of not quite having enough for that one other day, not to mention all of the daily tasks you had to do doubly the day before or the day after taking Sabbath. And keeping the Sabbath was, in fact, one of the things for which Jews would go to their deaths in the face of foreign oppressors who would insist that they work on the Sabbath. It was a gift, but not always an easy gift to rest. This invitation of Jesus, and also, I believe, Labor Day itself, give us a moment to pause and recognize this gift of work and the gift of rest. And it leads me to ask two questions for our reflection. And the first question is this: which defines us more, our work or our rest? Which defines you more, your work or your rest? Think about it. When you first meet someone, what are you more likely to ask them? What do you do for work? How likely are you to ask them first, what do you do on your day off? You know, in a culture where 50, 60, 70 hour work weeks are sometimes held as a badge of honor and rewarded in our culture, which question are we prepared to answer more easily? What do you do for work, or what do you do for rest? Which defines you more? Several years ago, I returned to New Jersey as a guest preacher at the first MCC that I participated in, actually 30 years ago, this month. I started attending MCC in New Jersey, and I was staying at a hotel when I was there as a guest. And in that hotel, during the weekend I was there, there was a large gathering of Orthodox Jews. I don't know exactly what they were gathering to celebrate, but one of the things I noticed in that hotel was something I'd never experienced before. In the bank of elevators, I can't remember how many there were, three or four, maybe six. One elevator had a sign on it calling it the Sabbath elevator. The Sabbath elevator, when you got on the Sabbath elevator, it stopped at every floor without pressing the button. When you pause to think about it, it makes sense, because the prohibition against operating machinery can be extended to operating elevators, et cetera, et cetera. Now, to us, if we were not raised as observant Jewish people, that might seem a little annoying, especially if you were in a hurry to get to one floor and not the other, and you stopped on all the floors in between. It might seem annoying, it might even seem ridiculously small consideration, but it is a reminder that it's not the work that defines your identity, but it's the rest that defines your identity. Second question that the quote of Jesus begs: of what are you weary? Of what are you weary? Of what do you feel heavy burdened? What kind of rest do you need? when Jesus spoke these words to those hard laborers, those who worked dawn to dusk 6 out of 7 days. It wasn't just an invitation to put down the plow or the water jar or the net. It was like on the Sabbath, a reminder that they are not ultimately responsible for providing what they have. They don't make the grain grow. They don't make the rain fall that fills the well. They don't spawn the fish that fill the net. It was God who provided. Lay down that hard yoke of believing that because you work hard, you are the creator of the universe. Take on the easy yoke of receiving the gifts that God just pours out. Lay down the heavy burden of believing, at least for one day, of believing that you are the center of the universe. Oh, that's a hard burden for some, isn't it? To lay down the burden of thinking you're the center of the universe and take on a much lighter burden of realizing that the sun will rise and set without you, that the grass will grow, that fruit will ripen without your work. An easy burden, a light yoke, God's promised rhythm of work and rest, an invitation to celebrate. I'd ask you to join me in a prayer, a Labor Day prayer, for us and all who labor and rest. Please pray with me. Creator God, you who labored to make the heavens and the earth, and you called that work good, we praise you. On this weekend of Labor Day, when we and others rest from usual labor, we thank you for the opportunity to work and the opportunity to rest. We pray for all those who shoulder the heavy tasks of human labor, be it in marketplace or school or factory or office or farm or mill, in any profession and in family living. May all workers know respect, be kept safe from harm, be well paid for hard work so that they might provide for family and loved ones. God, may we not pit workers of one nation or culture against another so that one suffers while another thrives. Help us create working together so that all prosper. We lift up to you all who long for employment and those who work to defend the rights and needs of all workers. Today we pray for those who are underemployed or unemployed. May they not be discouraged. May they continue to find paths of rich learning and growth in time without paid work. May we as a nation and culture provide for those who suffer under unemployment so that they do not lose home or health. May those out of work experience evidence of support, and may meaningful work come to them. We pray for those who are disabled or retired. May they be guided to paths of valuable vocation and meaningful contribution towards the well-being of all. May all laborers, may all of our labors benefit your creation so that we can co-create a world with peace and enough for everyone. May we continue your work through our work, creating your realm on earth as in heaven. May our work and our rest praise you until the day we eternally rest in your presence. In your holy name we pray. Amen.